Blog Talk Radio.
Dread it. Run from it. The end is near.
We're gonna need some help.
How you been, Buck?
Not bad. For the end of the world.
He bombed back! He bombed back!
He bombed back!
Don't fight for one life. We fight for all of them.
Avengers Infinity War.
When you said we are going to open Wakanda to the rest of the world, this is not what I imagined.
What did you imagine?
The Olympics? Maybe even a Starbucks?
Everywhere, April 27th.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is a special edition of Trek Talking and Beyond. We're going to be talking about Avengers Infinity War, this little Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that came out, I believe it was last week or the week before. And it's about Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and collecting the Infinity Stones. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. If you're a superhero fan, then I'm assuming you've seen it. But the spoilers are out, and we're going to talk about everybody who died, people who didn't die, you know, our thoughts on everything about the movie. The movie clocks in at just over 2.5 hours, and we're going to have some fun talking about Avengers Infinity War. If you'd like to call and share in the conversation, the number here is 646-668-2433. That's 646-668-2433. Same number it's been for the last 3 years. So where would we start with this? Let's see. It starts way back in 2009 when Marvel made a movie called Iron Man. And during Iron Man, they set up the Avengers Initiative. And that's what got this whole ball a-rolling with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Everybody knew at that point when Nick Fury went to Tony Stark and said, you know, I have this Avengers Initiative thing going on, and, you know, I want you to be a part of it. Everybody knew right away what was going to happen. And, of course, we got each one of the Avengers introduced to us after that. You know, we saw – well, actually, the Hulk was here. We actually saw a Hulk movie before, but it didn't do too well, so they kind of rebooted the Hulk to the Hulk version that we currently have as an Avengers. But – we later saw Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, and Black Widow made her first appearance in Iron Man as well. So it just snowballed from there. And over the course of the years, the Avengers were not all owned by Marvel. They had to get Spider-Man back, which they did. He makes an appearance in Infinity War as well. And there's a lot going on in this movie. I've only seen it once. I'd like to go back and see it a second time. But I'm just too busy to, you know, if I see it once, I got to be happy with seeing it just the once. Maybe camp opens next week, and so maybe we'll get a chance to go see it. It's playing at the drive-in over here in Glens Falls, along with Black Panther. So maybe if I get a chance, we'll go and check it out again. Because I think this is a movie that needs to be seen more than once, because there's so much going on, so much happening, and it's funny. Now, this movie basically starts right at the end of Thor Ragnarok, where Loki and Thor are in their ship, and they're fleeing Asgard, and they run into this giant square ship, which is Thanos' ship, and that's exactly where Infinity War picks up. And as I said, we are going to spoil it. We're going to talk about all the twists and the plot twists and the loops and the deaths, so if that's not something you want to hear, then avert your ears, you know, go watch Westworld on HBO or something, because we're going to spoil it. So the movie starts right where Thor ended, and Thanos has boarded Thor's ship, and he almost kills Thor, and Loki is there as well, and so is the guy with the golden eyes there that controls the Rainbow Bridge. What's his name? Himnick? And he's there as well, and they're the only ones left alive. And what happens at that point is the first death in the movie shows up relatively early. I'd say less, well, 5 to 8 minutes into the movie. And Thanos is going to kill Thor unless Loki gives him the, I think it's the Soul Stone, I think is the one that he has that's in the Tesseract. I think it's the Soul Stone. No, it's not the Soul Stone. That's the one that when he kills Gamora to get the Soul Stone. It's the, I don't know. It's the stone that Loki had that he got from the last Avengers movie. Whichever stone that was, he has it. And he's going to kill Thor unless Loki gives it to him. So Loki, being the jokester that he is, as a last-ditch effort, he says, I'll give you the stone if you spare Thor's life. So what happens at that point is Loki slides a little dagger out from his wrist, and he's going to plunge it into Thanos' neck. And just as he's about to do that, Thanos freezes him in place and then kills him. And Loki died doing the honorable thing in this case, which I think is really great for the character, because he's always been kind of, you know, is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? What, you know, he's always in it for himself. But in this particular case, he died with honor, and he sincerely tried to save Thor's life and kill Thanos. Didn't work. Thanos killed him, and Hulk shows up and beats the crap out of Thanos, but then Thanos bounces back and almost kills the Hulk. Heimlich, whatever his name is there, turns on the Rainbow Bridge and sends Hulk crashing to Earth, and Thor survives, and the movie begins right there. So right off the bat, you're not even 10 minutes into this movie, and we've already seen Thanos almost kill Thor, almost kill the Hulk, kill Loki, kill Heimlich, and this is how the movie starts. So right off the bat, you're like, wow, you're just pulled right into this movie, you're totally enthralled, and you're just waiting for more. And right off the bat, they demonstrate just how dangerous and how strong Thanos is, and how determined he is to get his hands on these Soul Stones, and you're like, wow, you're glued right to the screen. And, you know, like I said, the movie is over 2.5 hours long, but it doesn't disappoint. Right from the start with the death of Loki, and again, Loki has died many times before. He always seems to come back. So, you know, maybe he'll be back. You know, who knows? But the movie just pulls you right in right from the get-go with some major deaths. And it doesn't disappoint from there. It just goes on from there. Now, at this point in time, the Avengers are scattered because, remember, the events of the Captain America Civil War, where we have the Sokovia Accords. So we have Tony Stark's Avengers, who are now the police force, I guess, of the United Nations. And then we have Captain America and his band of outlaws who are hanging out in Wakanda, where they're protected. And then they also mentioned that Ant-Man and Hawkeye are under house arrest because of their involvement in the Civil War. So they're not in the movie at all. They're under house arrest, wherever that might be. And hopefully we'll find out where that is in the new Ant-Man and Wasp movie. So that sets up the opening sequence for Avengers Infinity War. And I got to tell you, if you haven't seen this movie, run, don't walk to the theater and see it, because you will not be disappointed. Jamie, what did you think about this movie and the way it started?
I thought it was better than I was expecting. I was expecting it to just be complete comedy and less of the actual storyline as most Marvel movies seem to be. But aside from that and the comedy of it, I think the storyline was well done, although obviously, as we saw with Doctor Strange, we know that somehow all the Avengers will either come back, or we will see some of the characters that died in other movies, because if you remember, what was it? Dr. Strange saw, 144 million possibilities, and only one of them was true. So apparently we will find out what happens with all the Infinity Stones, and he gave them a stone of time to save. And spoiler alert for anyone who has not seen this movie, but he saved, Dr. Strange saved life, so Thanos did not kill him in exchange for the Stone of Time. Now, given that, I do think that the scene where Spider-Man and you know, all the other characters were trying to get the little glove off of him, I think if Star-Lord had concentrated more instead of deviating off the beaten path of what happened to Gamora, and then you know, he just got completely distracted, then maybe the movie would have ended different. And I do wish that Thor had, in a way, killed Thanos, but then we wouldn't have had the second movie. Obviously, we know, and yes, everything goes back to Star Wars here. Thanos is coming back, which means that he didn't die, which we know that. And spoiler again, obviously Gamora didn't die, because that she just signed to do Guardians of the Galaxy 3 as well as Chris Pratt. But I'm not sure how that's going to work because, as we all know, Jurassic World 3 is 2 is coming out. So he's agreed to do that. So there will probably more than likely give the main role to Gamora. And the other thing I liked about this is Groot had a really great role in this. He was funny as ever, teenage Groot. And then you have Thor, you know, being his witty self, and then, you know, the raccoon. And then Thor calling him the rabbit when he's not a rabbit. There's a lot of funny lines in there. I'm trying to keep this vague, but, you know, I'm going to end up spoiling it anyways. And then, of course, I like the line where they were speaking I am Groot, and they actually found out that it was a language. But, you know, that was funny. Drax had a lot of funny lines in there. I mean, I don't know. What did you think? Did you think the humor was well played out in this movie, or did you think it was just a little drawn out too far?
Well, you know, I've said this before. I don't know how Marvel manages to do this, Jamie, but every time they make a movie, I think, you know, how can they top this? When I'm not a huge Thor fan, but when I saw Thor Ragnarok and the whole Thor and Hulk relationship, and I was like, wow, this is funny. But not funny like Eddie Murphy comedy, but funny as far as the characters went. It was a very funny, humorous movie and action-packed and really fun. And I thought, wow, that's going to be the pinnacle of Marvel movies now. And then the Black Panther came out, and I was like, wow, oh my God, this is the pinnacle of Marvel movies. And then I saw Avengers Infinity War, and I said, okay, this is the new pinnacle. They keep outdoing themselves, which is just incredible when you
right.
think about it, because you would think eventually they'd run out of steam and you'd be seeing the same stuff over and over again, but they managed to keep these fresh, and they managed to keep the humor in it and keep the action in it and keep you coming back for more. Now, this movie is the pinnacle of 10 years of planning from Marvel, and so, you know, it better be good, and it definitely was. So, and I never read the comic book. A lot of people keep telling me, well, did you read the comic book? Well, I want to talk a little bit about the comic books, and we'll do that with TJ because he's our resident comic book expert. So, TJ, what did you think about the Infinity War movie versus the Infinity War comic book?
Yeah, thanks for having me. But, yeah, clearly that was, you know, as a comic shop, we definitely sort of ramped up promotion of what I think a lot of people thought was going to be. There's been a few Infinity comics. In fact, they're ramping up to do one this summer. I think a lot of people were looking at Infinity Gauntlet from the mid-90s as the sort of place to start for the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Infinity War. But really, and although there's a lot of similarities, Infinity Gauntlet, the comic, or I should say Infinity War, the movie, is only the first half of Infinity Gauntlet. Pretty early on, Thanos does his snap. Basically, you start Infinity Gauntlet with Thanos already having all the stones and the Infinity Gauntlet. And by like the second issue, I think might be the very end of the first one, he does his snap and people begin disappearing. You know, half of all heroes and humans and life in the universe begins disappearing. And that's just the very start of Infinity Gauntlet. So really, well, there is similarities like in Infinity War, the movie, Hulk falls through the Sanctum Sanctorum and begins to warn all the heroes of Earth that Thanos is coming. In Infinity Gauntlet, the comic, that role is sort of played by the Silver Surfer. He falls through into the Sanctum Sanctorum, and people begin, you know, bolstering their defenses for in anticipation of the great fight against Thanos. Also, there's a lot more cosmic presence of these super powerful cosmic beings inside of Infinity Gauntlet, as well as like the Silver Surfer. And Adam Warlock in particular, who's a super powerful being inside the Marvel Universe, is really key to the fight against Thanos inside Infinity Gauntlet. And obviously, he really has not had a part to play yet inside the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So far, we know he's coming thanks to James Gunn in the Guardians of the Galaxy portion of that universe. We know he was sort of born in the post-credit scene of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, but we've yet to see him take the fight against Thanos up, and it'll be interesting to see how they resolve that inside the movies, because in the comics, he's really like the general sort of commanding all of his troops to take on Thanos, and he really orchestrates the whole resistance, but we haven't seen him yet inside the movies, so those are some of the differences. We're only like in the very start of the comic run in terms of the movies, and there's some key players and roles being sort of switched around. So I thought it was great. I loved the movie. It was, you know, an amazing feat to pull off, and 2 hours and 40 minutes went by like crazy fast, and I loved every minute of it. I thought there was some really great standout performances. I wish there had been more of other characters, but yeah, super happy to see it. The comic is great too, but there's definitely some differences.
Now, let's take a minute to talk about some comics here. One of the biggest, I don't know if you want to call it a complaint, but one of the differences is the Avengers, or Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the Avengers and of Ant-Man and of Thor and Iron Man and whatnot, is completely, totally different than the comic book counterparts, other than in name and some of the story arcs, but mostly they've completely rewritten everything for their movies. And one of the things that I wish that they would do is, if you have a kid, say he's 13, like I was when I first started reading comic books, and he goes and sees an Avengers movie, and then he wants to go and read the Avengers comics. Well, if he goes to the store, he's not going to be able to find those Avengers, because I don't even know what the lineup of the Avengers currently is, but I do know that by the time I started reading comic books, you know, in the late 70s, Thor and Hulk were already gone from the Avengers and moved on. And Ant-Man wasn't even an Avenger. He was actually Yellow Jacket, and he was married to the Wasp, and they were members of the Avengers. And that blue guy from X-Men, Beast, was an Avenger. And Captain America, Hawkeye, and Iron Man, those were the Avengers when I started reading them in the 70s. But now they've kind of rewritten that, and Hulk and Thor have hung around. Ant-Man's somewhere else. Yellow Jacket's now a bad guy. So they've completely changed the Marvel comic books and the cinematic universe. So why doesn't Marvel have a Marvel Cinematic Universe comic book where people that are just getting into this can read about the adventures of these characters they see on the silver screen? Or is that something that they are avoiding intentionally?
Yeah, it's a very good question, right? Like, we know IDW does that with Star Trek a lot. They have the Discovery comic books coming out where all the characters are sort of in the same place. They have the, Voldigo just wrapped up with all the Kelvin Universe characters and their roles. But Marvel has not yet put out an ongoing comic where the Marvel Cinematic Universe characters are in the same, share the same history as a comic counterpart. Of course, we do get previous to pretty much every Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, we get a prequel comic, something to sort of lead up to the release of the movie. And it's usually like two issues, and it's a very, you know, limited run. They do two issues. They sort of explain what's going on without getting too in-depth into, like, spoilers or anything. But there was – I really enjoyed the two comics that led up to Infinity War, the Infinity War prequel number one and number two. It showed us what has been going on in Wakanda with Bucky, his recovery, a little more than just the post-credit scene and what we saw in Infinity War. As well as we got to see sort of Team Cap, Black Widow and Falcon and Captain America, what they've been up to, what they've been chasing down and sort of working on the as, you know, operatives, sort of spying on certain things that are happening in their world. But, yeah, we haven't yet gotten, like, a fully fleshed out ongoing series that takes the characters from the cinematic universe and puts them on the shelf of comic stores. And I wish they would. I think it's a good idea. Marvel, of course, has dealt with a couple different universes in like the mid 2000s. They had the Ultimate Universe and the Mainline Universe, and both were selling really well. They in 2015, with the events of the comic titled Secret Wars, they combined all the universe into one singular universe after Doctor Doom sort of took over for a while. And the Infinity Gauntlet plays a large role in that. But they also got rid of the Fantastic Four, a classic Marvel family. They also changed up the roles of a lot of heroes, sort of introduced a lot of counterparts like Ironheart and Ms. Marvel, Jane Foster, Thor, and have, you know, that was met with sort of middling reception by a lot of people. I was still a fan, but, you know, some people found that to be too much of a stretch for them. But now, this week, I will just say, just this week, we're finally, they're starting what they're calling the Fresh Start Initiative. We're getting an Avengers team that has Tony Stark as Iron Man, Steve Rogers as Captain America, Thor Odinson as Thor, plus Doctor Strange, Black Panther, Ghost Rider, Captain Marvel. It's a much more familiar-looking team to people who, like you, were reading in the 70s. Or haven't been reading the books for the past few years or whatever. So I think they're realizing that they have a good thing going with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and they could, you know, they don't have to do much more than that if they want to sell some books.
No, because I think that people want to see familiar characters in the comic books that they see on a silver screen, and they flesh them out so well in the movies that it would make perfect sense to bring those characters, like for instance, the Hawkeye that's in the comic books is absolutely nothing like the Hawkeye we see in the movies. He's not even close. You know, he doesn't wear the purple. He's a totally different character in the movies than we see in the comic books, and that's cool. But I really think they should try to integrate that into their comics, and they would sell a lot more comic books. And let's not forget that the Avengers, or not the Avengers, but Marvel doesn't have a lot of the characters anymore that they had. Like Silver Surfer's not there. Galactus doesn't belong to them. They just got Spider-Man back. Venom doesn't belong to them. Fantastic Four's not theirs. I think they got the X-Men back, I think. There's been so many X-Men and Wolverine movies. I can't remember who did what, but I think the X-Men are now back with Marvel. So it's hard for them to do what they do in the comics, like particularly Infinity Gauntlet, because they don't have the rights to a lot of those characters anymore.
Yeah, it's hard to do those big, huge, you know, crossovers. But luckily, I mean, the comics, hopefully sales pick up. I mean, you know, the comic shops have been complaining for a while now that, you know, sales have dropped because of, you know, the characters on the books and things. I myself was a fan of a lot of those characters. I'm happy to see them stick around, but also have the sort of better known people forward facing. It's always rough when somebody comes in saying, "Hey, I just saw, you know, Infinity War. I want an Avengers book." and I show them the Avengers book, and it's a bunch of characters they don't recognize. You know, if they're just dipping their toes into comics, they need some place that's a good jumping in point. Luckily, it looks like maybe we'll be getting some of that with this summer's offerings.
Yeah, so Jamie, I know you're relatively new to the comic book world. Would you like to see these characters brought to life in comic books, or are you happy with having them in the movies and having different versions of them in the comics?
Well, it would be nice to see new characters, but that's the problem I have. I'm used to just watching a DC movie or a Marvel movie, and then I want to read the comic book, and you read the comic, and you're just completely different characters, if not just the same character. But the one thing I did like, though, is that there's some of them are the same and some of them are different. Iron Man, for instance, was pretty much the same on certain things. But then if you want to read the Avengers, obviously you're going to see a bunch of different characters that you don't know. But, I mean, I would love to see them, you know, make things a little different.
Yeah, I've been happy. I haven't read an Avengers book in decades, but I'm happy with the movie. So let's get back to the movie a little bit here. Doctor Strange did his little vibrating thing and said that he saw something like 14 million or 144 million, some ridiculous amount of possible outcomes, and there was only one where they were victorious. And at that point, Thanos, now I said at the top of the show that we are going to spoil this movie, so I'm not going to keep saying this is a spoiler because I've already warned you guys, and it's all over Facebook that the spoiler alert has been lifted. So a lot of these things that we're going to talk about are all over Facebook anyways. But so after Thanos kills Iron Man, Tony Stark, Doctor Strange gives up the Infinity or the time of Stone of Time to save Tony Stark's life. And at that point in time, you're like, well, why would he do that? Because as long as he's got the Stone of Time, he can pretty much do whatever he wants. But he willingly gives it to Thanos to save Tony Stark's life. Now, there has to be a reason for doing that. You know, one life for millions, it doesn't make sense unless Tony Stark needs to be around some events that are going to occur in the second movie. I have nothing to go off of, but I'm thinking that when Doctor Strange was tooling through time and going through all these different possibilities, that in order for them to win, Tony Stark, the only way they would win is if Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man, was present for some unforeseen event that we've yet to witness.
Yeah, you know, so, I hadn't actually thought of it from that perspective
baffled.
In terms of I always thought it was that Doctor Strange knew Thanos. I still can't get over that they I've always called him Thanos, but you know, all the promo is Thanos. I always thought it was the idea that Thanos the one reality that they went in, Thanos needed the time gem. But really, I think you're probably, you know, closer to the truth in that the one reality they're in, Tony Stark needs to be alive.
Because I was reading, somebody said, as you remember from the movie, when Thanos kills Gamora, the only way he can get the Soul Stone is to sacrifice somebody he loves. So he kills her and gets the stone.
Yeah, and so we had like a few characters, right, that were killed prior to the snap. Loki, Heimdall, Gamora, and the Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys were all killed pre-Thanos getting all the gems and using that snap to kill half of people in the universe. Which makes me think that those those people are sort of permanently gone, because, you know, they weren't really affected by the outcome of Thanos getting all the stones, the Infinity Stones. Of course, Jamie, like you said, Zoe Saldana has signed on to play Gamora one more time, so apparently she'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Gamora is trapped inside of the Soul Gem or something. I think that makes pretty good sense. In the end, I think we'll see a lot of these characters back, which, you know, sort of takes some of the weight away from the actions of Thanos in Infinity War, but I think we'll lose some of the characters that are still around. Like, I think, you know, maybe Tony Stark or, you know, some of the more original Avengers we might lose, as opposed to the ones that were lost to the snap. I hope that's what they do in 4. Otherwise, it'll seem like, you know, nothing has changed.
Well, one of the things, first of all, I love the movie. Incredible. The battle sequences in this movie, the action scenes are just outstanding. Everything about this movie, when Captain America makes his first appearance and reaches up and catches that spear, everybody in the theater started cheering. It was just outstanding. But if you think about it, we already know that there is a Guardian of the Galaxies Volume 3, and Peter Gunn has come out and said that he wants to shift some of the weight off of Star-Lord because of all the Jurassic Park movies and put Gamora in more of the lead. So we know that she's going to come back. Spider-Man, they're already working on Spider-Man 2, so even though he's dead, we know he's not. Black Panther also died in this movie, but guess what? Black Panther 2 is being worked on as well. So a lot of these characters that died, when you're in a theater, you're not thinking about that. The shock of them dying, you're like, oh, my God! But after you walk out of the movie and you realize these people can't be dead because their sequel's already in the works, so they got to come back somehow. We know they're going to be back. And does that cheapen? Do you think that cheapens the movie by knowing that these characters' deaths are just a gimmick? That's not the right word, but that they're not permanent? Does that cheapen the movie in any way?
I am sort of holding off judgment until we see in Avengers 4. If we lose some heroes during Avengers 4 and it seems permanent, I think I don't think it will have cheapened it. If at the end of Avengers 4 everybody is still here and still standing, I think then it will feel like we sort of had the wool pulled over our eyes. But you know, this was just part one of a two-part movie, really. I really feel like that. And if there's some more long-lasting repercussions, despite us knowing sort of the meta of movie making, then I feel like I'll be okay with it.
Well, I can say I've read a lot of places that Iron Man and Captain America's contract are up. They're over. And as far as I know, they haven't signed on to extend their contract, which means the next Avengers movie, that's it. Unless they sign on to extend their contracts, they're done. So that tells me that you're going to see Iron Man and you're going to see Captain America sacrifice themselves in the next movie. And if you look back at the Avengers Age of Ultron movie, you know, Tony Stark has the vision of him dead and Captain America dead and the rest of the Avengers lying there dead. So that's already been foreshadowed a little bit in previous movies. So, and you know what? As much as I love Iron Man, and I really do, and as much as I really think Captain America is awesome, I would be okay with that. Because I think in order for the Avengers to grow and for the movies to go on, they have to change their lineup like they do in the comic books. And that just makes sense to roll over and give some of the new Avengers a chance to shine. I wouldn't have a problem if that happened. Would you, Jamie? Would it bother you if some of the Avengers didn't make it through the next movie?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm still a little disappointed they killed Loki, but it is what it is. And then, you know, as far as Spider-Man and the rest of them, I really, really did think from this the first part of this movie that they were going to kill Tony Stark. But then there was that moment when Doctor Strange said, wait, don't kill him, you know, and then he saves his life. He's like, okay, well, he's someone is going to die in the next movie, whether it's Captain America or it's Tony Stark, but if both of those characters died, I will be devastated, because those are my two favorite characters besides Loki. And I'm sure, you know, Spider-Man is too, but I don't know. I'm still disappointed with some of them, but you know that they're temporarily dead, so we'll see who they... I didn't read the comics, so I don't know who's coming back, who's not. But if I had to guess, I definitely think those two are next. They're on borrowed time. And I would like to see Hulk come back, but it doesn't look like it. I think he's still scared out of his body from Thanos whipping him around like that, but, you know.
Yeah, so let's talk about that, Jane. Let's talk about that scene. One of the best scenes from the original Avengers is when Hulk grabs Loki, swings him back and forth like a rag doll, and says, "Puny little god," and pounds him into the ground.
That's my favorite part of the other movie.
You know, and then Thor is standing right next to him, and Thor just kind of reaches over our Hulk and punches Thor in the head, and Thor goes flying out the side of the building. It's hilarious. And then later on in Thor and Ragnarok, they bring up that joke again, and Loki kind of slithers away because he remembers what Hulk did to him the first time. Well, that joke kind of comes full circle because in this movie, Thanos does the same thing to Hulk and beats him like a rag doll and almost kills him. And then Hulk kind of is afraid and won't come out for the rest of the movie, which is fine because it gives Bruce Banner a chance to be in the movie and not be the Hulk, which was really, really funny. But
yeah, I think, okay, well, it did bother me at first that we didn't see the Hulk, but I did like seeing more of Bruce Banner as well, because it just made the movie so much more enjoyable, is not the right word, comical, I guess you could say, just funny. I mean, because I love it when they're just sitting there and he walks up and Tony Stark gets thrown against the tree and says, "Are you going to help?" And, you know, and he's fighting to get the Hulk to come out. And, I mean, that was really well done. But, you know, then again, I think they made a really good comparison is, okay, why are we seeing Thanos dragging him around like a rag doll? Then you have to think to the other movies. But for someone that has never seen the other movies, I really think that seeing Infinity War is a bad place to start myself, because that's like watching Star Trek and watching Discovery and not watching the older Star Treks, but or even Star Wars or Harry Potter or anything for that matter.
Yeah, this is a culmination of other movies. And honestly, though, I don't think there's very many people that went to see this that hadn't caught the previous MCU movies. I think the percentage of people that didn't see the other movies and went to see this one is probably relatively small, you know, because this is, you don't jump into a movie, you know, 10 years into it and then say, oh, there's this Avengers thing and go see it. And when you haven't seen any of the other movies over the previous 10 years. So I think most people know what's going on and are aware of the situation. But Hulk, they kind of carried, they took what they did with Hulk and Thor Ragnarok and kind of flipped it around, and it was just the opposite in Infinity War, because in Thor, Hulk had taken over Bruce Banner and he was always Hulk, and he couldn't get, and Bruce Banner couldn't get Hulk to go away so that Bruce Banner could come back. And he was afraid that if he turned back into Hulk, he would be lost forever and he wouldn't be able to be Bruce Banner. And then in this movie, we see just the opposite. Hulk is afraid and won't come out. And Bruce Banner is now in control and can't get Hulk back. So it's just the opposite of what we saw in Thor. And they played it beautifully. Now, let's talk a little bit about the after-credit scene. Now, anyone that goes to see a Marvel movie, I know you guys are staying till the end because you know they always throw a scene in at the end. Unlike the scene in Spider-Man that where you won't be disappointed, this one was really good. After Thanos snaps his fingers and everyone starts disappearing, who do we see? We see Maria Hill and what's his name there? TJ, what's his name? Yeah, Nick Fury driving along, and cars are crashing and people are disappearing, and he gets out of the car. The car is empty, and he starts to disappear, and he pulls out his pager, and he says, "Motherfuck!" And he disappears, but not before he pushes the button to place the phone call or the pager call or whatever that, some type of communication device. He activates it, and it falls on the ground, and the camera zooms in, and TJ, tell everybody, if they haven't seen the movie, who is Nick Fury calling?
Nick Fury was, he's paging the one and only Captain Marvel. I'm very excited to see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Tell people, I was explaining to Jamie that Captain Marvel is the closest way to describe her would be Marvel's version of Superman, although I think Ms. Marvel might be able to pound Superman into pulp, but why don't you tell us a little bit about her and her abilities and how you think she's going to impact this upcoming movie?
Yeah, Captain Marvel is, I think that's a fair thing to say, is sort of Marvel's Superman. Definitely Carol Danvers, this young hotshot Air Force, I believe she was a major, I think, an officer, and made a career out of being in the Air Force when she was infused with this alien power of Captain Marvel. It's sort of a title that gets passed on. And she's able to fly at incredible speeds. She's incredibly strong and durable. She also has sort of energy blast powers. And Marvel is really ramping up towards her being the sort of, potential new leader, potentially a very powerful character inside the Marvel Cinematic Universe. The comics readers have known her for quite a long time now. And inside of those books, she tends to hang out sort of on the edge of space and patrol the borders of the Earth and defend Earth from interspatial threats. And I think she will definitely have a large role to play in the upcoming Marvel movies. Of course, Brie Larson was cast as her sometime late last year, and filming has already begun. We've seen set photos of her on the set of Captain Marvel, the movie. That movie's coming out, I think it's the final movie to come out before Avengers 4. And we know also, which is a little, offbeat for Marvel, this movie is taking place in the 1990s. Usually their movies are very sequential in that they might have flashbacks to the past, but it's assumed pretty much that the movies are quote unquote in real time. This movie is going to take place in the 90s. It's going to feature Nick Fury and Phil Coulson pretty heavily, and it's going to be an origin story of Captain Marvel. And I think, this is my own personal theory, I think Nick Fury used a pager. I know this might be tough to follow, but I think Nick Fury used a pager because he was sending a message back in time to Captain Marvel to warn her of the events in Avengers Infinity War. I think that's why he had to use a pager, was because, like, those aren't very common these days. Everybody has a smartphone. But in the 90s, everyone had a pager. And I think he was sending a message through a sort of temporal pager back in time to Captain Marvel so that she's prepared for the events of Avengers 4.
Now, I do have a question. Who is Captain Marvel versus Ms. Marvel?
Captain Marvel, this Air Force member got her title passed down to her from previous Captain Marvels in the Marvel Universe. There was a Captain Marvel in the 70s, and he was, I'm blanking out on the race, but he was an alien. And now there's also a Ms. Marvel who's much younger. She's a Muslim American, and she's an Inhuman like Black Bolt or the Inhuman royal family. And she, although they both share the name Marvel, part of their names, she has very different powers. She's able to like stretch and grow her limbs or her person to any size. So despite the name difference, and Ms. Marvel totally looks up to Captain Marvel, they're quite different characters.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself, because I know Ms. Marvel and I know Captain Marvel. I was wondering what, you know, if the two characters were different or the same or how that,
sure, yeah,
how that played
yeah,
out.
Yeah, quite different. Admittedly, I'm not super well versed in either of them, but I am very excited for Captain Marvel. She's had some good recent comic runs, and I think the casting is great. And knowing that they've got big plans for her has me pretty excited.
Now, let's talk about Infinity War again. There's a scene in the movie where Scarlet Witch is going to remove the Soul Stone or the Infinity Stone? Vision
mind,
has a
mind
gold
gem.
The mind. She's going to remove it, and which would kill the Vision, but prevent Thanos from getting his hands on it. Now, while that's going on, though, in Wakanda, the Black Panther's sister is doing something on the computer, and I think she's downloading Jarvis, a.k.a. Vision, and backing him up so that he doesn't cease to exist. I think that's what she's doing. We'll have to wait till the next movie. But one of the things about the movie that made me go, oh, man, that's cheap, is when the Scarlet Witch manages to remove the gem and kills the Vision. And that should have stopped Thanos right then and there. But Thanos uses the Stone of Time to go back in time and rip the stone out and kill the Vision. And I was like, well, you know, that's kind of cheap, because if you have the Stone of Time, then you can just go back in time and nothing really has any relevance. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a second. Thanos can do that. Then why couldn't Doctor Strange do that and go back in time and stop Thanos from getting the stone in the first place? Or am I looking at this from the wrong point of view?
No, I certainly think that does seem like a bit of a plot hole in terms of Doctor Strange has shown he's able to make, you know, sort of checkpoints and go back in time to those checkpoints. Why he didn't or why we haven't seen that he did so far seems a bit strange. I think it was they did establish, though, that, the Time Stone could pull those sort of shenanigans. So I don't think it was, like, completely out of the blue for this, in my opinion. But it definitely feels like a cheap shot just because, you know, you want the heroes to win so badly.
And why didn't the Vision, in the opening scene when Vision and Scarlet Witch are, I think they're in Ireland, I think, and they get attacked by, what's his name, Scourge, whatever the Thanos' hitmen are. Why didn't the Vision just make himself ghost-like so that the spear would have gone right through him? How was he able to get stabbed by a spear when he can make himself, stuff pass through him?
It was my understanding that they caught him off guard and damaged some, critical component. And then we never saw him phase, like, at all, I don't think, inside that movie because of the damage to his system. So once that spear caught him off guard, his powers were limited. That was my understanding. I think there was a line about it, but I'll have to see it again, I guess.
I definitely want to see it again.
Yeah, me too.
As I said, the action in this movie is incredible. The humor is awesome, and you know,
yeah,
you've got to see. Now,
well,
it's actually playing at the drive-in with Black Panther, so maybe we can get a chance to catch it again at some point before the summer ends. But so TJ, what were your overall thoughts on this movie? Would you recommend it to people? And what did you think about it overall as a comic book movie and as a climax to the 10 years of the cinematic universe from Marvel that we've seen so far?
Yeah, I still remember going to see Iron Man in 2007 with my dad and my two brothers. And, you know, for some reason, it wasn't really a thing yet, but we stuck around till the post credits and saw Nick Fury talk to Iron Man about the Avengers initiative. And we just knew, like, holy smokes, oh my God, are they going to do an Avengers movie? That would be so amazing. So, you know, one of my most treasured memories, and to have 10 years go by so quickly and have so many great movies leading up to this, to finally land at what I regard as truly an amazingly successful feat in filmmaking and in storytelling. I was, I truly loved it. It was, you know, I think a cinematic experience like I've not had many other times. I thought Thor, Doctor Strange were my two really standout heroes inside of this. You know, both showed that they were incredibly powerful, which they should be. They're some of Marvel's heaviest hitters and most inventive heroes. But the main character for me, I mean, has to be Thanos. You know, he had, I think, the most screen time and the most lines. He was delivered amazingly well by Josh Brolin. I you know, really get the motivations, be they sort of misplaced. But I think, you know, definitely Marvel's strongest villain yet and one of the best characters they've created inside their movie universe. Now, if you are just looking to jump into some Marvel movies, I would not start with Infinity War. I don't think you have to watch all of the movies, but I would definitely, you know, get caught up on the events of, in particular, like Civil War, probably Black Panther, probably Age of Ultron, the two Avengers movies for sure. You know, I would do some preparation if you're just now catching on to the Marvel craze. But if you're previously a fan and you haven't seen this movie yet, which seems, you know, almost impossible at this point, given that it was once again number one this weekend, I would definitely recommend catching it as soon as you can.
Yeah, excellent movie. Well, what about you, Jamie? What would you recommend it? What were your thoughts on this movie?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend going to see Avengers if you haven't. But definitely don't start with this movie if you're not familiar with any of the other previous Marvel movies. You might want to go back, as TJ said, and watch a few of those that he already mentioned, definitely, just to give yourself a little background on the movie, if not read the comic books. But overall, it was really well done. I liked the comedy in it. I liked the main storyline. Surprisingly, Thanos actually surprised me a lot, because I compare him to Draco Malfoy, because he, for me, he was the enemy to me in the beginning, and then I fell in love with his character, even though he's the one that everyone supposedly hates because he kills all the Avengers. But I just liked how he was a father figure to Gamora when she lost her mother on her home planet, and that's when I really started liking his character. And then towards the end, when he had to sacrifice her for that stone, it was just, wait a minute, well, maybe he's not such a good guy after all. But, and then as the movie went on, then I started to hate him again. But it's a love-hate relationship with Thanos. I mean, how can you not like him, but then how can you not hate him at the same time? But you'll see what I mean if you go and see the movie. And then as far as Vision goes and the whole thing with Thanos and Vision, I really don't know why he didn't just turn into a ghost, as we talked about before. But, you know, it still didn't ruin the movie for me. And it was just nice to see that they didn't kill all of the Avengers, and my two favorite characters are still alive. Granted, they killed a few of my other favorites, but that's not going to stop me from going to see the next part of the movie.
No, and for me, one of the things that impressed me the most about this movie was the fact that each one of these characters remained true to the to that character. Like Spider-Man was Spider-Man in this movie. He was the same as he was in Civil War, and he's the same as he was in Homecoming. And of course, Tony Stark was Tony Stark, and Bruce Banner was Bruce Banner. Doctor Strange was Doctor Strange. Even the Guardians of the Galaxy were the Guardians of the Galaxy. Each character, when we first meet them, is like they're stepping out of their own movie and into another version of their own movie. These characters were completely true to what we've come to expect from them, and that's really a hard thing to do. And I think that's why the DC movies just don't catch on, because these characters are characters that we've been watching for 10 years. Well, not all of them, but that we've seen more than once, and we expect them to be a certain way. And the Marvel writers have managed to capture these characters so perfect. Like, for instance, when Thor gets thrown off of Thanos' ship and he's almost killed, and he smashes into the windshield of the Guardians of the Galaxy ship, and Rockets, they're like, "Oh, get it off!" And they bring him in the ship. The interaction between Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy is priceless. It's just hilariously funny, well done, and completely in character. You know, Thor is the straight, you know, character, and the rest of them are like the morons, and there's even a line in the movie about that. When Thor refers to him as Rabbit through the whole movie, it's like it's funny because Thor doesn't know that he's making a joke. And let's not forget Drax when he's standing there, "I'm moving so slow that I'm invisible." I mean, great stuff. The movie is spectacular. If you haven't seen it, you need to go and see it. It's fun. It's fast. It's action-packed. The fight scenes are spectacular. Great movie. I highly, highly recommend it. So, TJ, I know we just had Free Comic Book Day over at the store. How did that go for you guys?
Yeah, that was great. It was always a super fun event to bring in new people, sort of, you know, call it a holiday, call it an outreach program. It's always a good time. And saw a lot of people, a lot of new people, saw a lot of our favorite people and close customers. And, you know, everybody seemed to enjoy themselves and find some good books. And, yeah, I mean, luckily the weather was really great. Ian and Tyler were dressed up as Thor and Spider-Man, respectively, and they just hammed it up on the street, telling people to swing by if they had the chance and pick up some free comics. And, yeah, it worked out really, really quite well for us.
Yeah, we stopped over. We had a good time. I picked up my copy of The Itic, Volume 3 of Star Trek, which I'm halfway through, and we'll talk about that on Comic Book Corner presented by Freakopolis Geekery. That's going to be on Monday the 14th, so you guys can check that out. It's our Star Trek edition of comic books. So we're going to do that as a monthly show. So this will be our second show. So you want to check that out on Monday. And if you're in the area, swing by Freakopolis Geekery and say hello to TJ and Ian and, you know, pick up some books. There's some great stuff there. And, you know, we have a lot of fun over there. So did you guys want to add anything else about Infinity War? What are your predictions for Infinity War 2, TJ?
I think we'll see some new cast members like Captain Marvel. I think we'll see some reimaginings of some past events inside the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like maybe, I mean, rumors have it, we'll see the Battle of New York again, but sort of with a twist. And I think we'll probably lose some original Avengers. Yeah, like you said, maybe Captain America and Iron Man. I think those are the two most likely. I know Chris Hemsworth came out and said this week he'll keep doing Marvel movies as long as they'll have them. I think he's much more pleased with Thor now that he's been sort of reimagined in the past couple of movies. And I think in the end, the heroes will come out on top.
And what do you think, Jamie? What do you think is going to happen in the next Infinity War?
Well, I definitely think we'll definitely see some more deaths. Maybe some more Avengers will be brought back, and just hopefully they'll conclude everything from the first part a little bit better, just to fill in the blanks so we know what happens. But then again, without reading the comic books, I can't really say much, but I'm really looking forward to what they do with the next couple of movies.
Yeah, Marvel has the next movies laid out for the next couple of years. We're going to have a lot of new stuff coming out. You know, I got a question for you guys. Why do you think, with all the heroes that were in these movies, I was happy with what they did, and I think they each got their moment to shine, and it was very well balanced, I felt. But what about the Defenders? We didn't see Daredevil. We didn't see any of the Marvel Netflix heroes show up in this movie. Did that bother you? And why do you think that didn't happen?
I suppose it does bother me a little bit. I would have liked to have seen, you know, maybe Daredevil or Luke Cage, you know, sort of trying to help some people get off the street or whatever inside of New York. That's about the most they could have done, I think, granted, you know, when you look at their power levels. But I hate to say it, but I think Marvel Netflix / Marvel TV, although apparently Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s not as much, but I think they're pretty disconnected at this point, unfortunately. I don't know that we'll ever see nods to them inside the movies, and I'm just trying to accept that.
Yeah, because I think that Daredevil, he's definitely my favorite. I think Daredevil's outstanding, and in the comic books, the comic books, Daredevil pals around with the Human Torch from the Fantastic Four, doesn't he?
Yeah, hangs around with the Human Torch and Spider-Man quite a bit. They're pretty close, as well as a lot of the other New York City heroes. So, you know, I would love to see Daredevil and Spider-Man in the same scene. I think that would be awesome.
That would be great. I know when we saw Spider-Man and Iron Man together in the Homecoming previews, we're like, wow, that's awesome. So, you know, I'd love to see them do something like that. And you know, I don't know the agreement that Marvel has with Netflix. Like you said, they might be completely different because they do mention the Battle of New York and they mention these events that have occurred. So, you know, they are in the same universe, but I think there might be some contractual agreement between them where they keep them separate because Netflix, I don't think Netflix is owned by Disney. Maybe they are. I don't know. I know Disney owns Marvel, but I don't think Disney owns Netflix. But at any rate. So that wraps up our Marvel Infinity War conversation for tonight. And we'll be back again, as I said, Thursday night we'll be doing our regular Trek Talking and Beyond show, 7:30, same bat time, same bat channel. We'll be doing our cadet training for After Trek's Vaulting Ambition episode of Star Trek Discovery. 14th, we'll be doing Comic Corner number 2, our Star Trek edition. So with that, guys, that hour just flew right by, as always. It's hard to believe, but another hour has come and gone. What's going on around Freakopolis Geekery coming up, TJ? Anything?
Let's see. I mean, we're going to be streaming on Twitch in about a half an hour here, around 9, at twitch.tv/Freakopolis, and as well as tomorrow. Then Wednesday is New Comic Book Day. No events planned in the evening until the Comic Book Club next week. And then Thursday, before Trek Talking, we're doing Open Tabletop from 5 to 8. But yeah, you know, some new comics. I think some new games coming in this week, if not next. And a couple events. So lots of streaming.
Now there's a new Star Trek comic coming out too, right? A weekly edition.
Yeah, we're getting one every week this month. Star Trek Through the Mirror number 2 will be out on the shelves this week.
Wow. I'll have to pick one off. How about
yeah,
you, Danny? What's happening? I know you got some things going on this weekend.
Not much other than we'll be at the Geekery for the free-to-play Star Trek Attack Wing event, which is always fun. If you're in the area, stop by. It's well worth it. We always have a lot of fun, and the group is friendly, and we're always willing to accept new people. And this weekend, I'll be in Warrensburg. We'll be setting up camp, so that should be exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that will. Thank you for mentioning that, because we're going to be opening up camp. Our games at Freakopolis Geekery have been moved from Sunday to Wednesday. So our next Star Trek Attack Wing game will be on Wednesday the 23rd from 6 to 8 at Freakopolis Geekery. We're going to be doing a 80-point free-for-all, 50-point max per ship. So 80-point, anyone you want to free-for-all on the table from 6 to 8. And all of our games are now going to be moved to Wednesday until October when camp ends. And again, so just make sure you guys mark that in your calendar that it's going to be Wednesdays at Freakopolis Geekery from 6 to 8. Sunday will be open if somebody wants to get together and play a game on a you can hook that up with here, Ian, and see if you can get some people together. But our official games will be on Wednesday the 23rd from 6 to 8. One more thing I wanted to say. I wanted to say thank you to Brett, because this weekend they had William Shatner at the Star Trek set tours over in Ticonderoga, New York. And I had asked Brett Shatner that couldn't make it up there, and he was able to get. So thank you for that, Brett. And I have a bunch of Doctor Who stuff that I'll hook you up with for getting me a William Shatner signature. And I get everything up. So thank you for spending an hour with us, TJ, to talk about comic books. It's always great to have you on with us. And thank you to Jamie for hanging out and doing a little bit of comic book discussion with us. And we'll see you guys on Thursday night for Trek Talking and Beyond. So be good to each other, and we'll see you around the galaxy. Good night, everybody.
Night.
Thanks, guys. Good night.
Let's see what's out there.